So now let's go to the prize given by the IFSE, and IFSE has decided to give this prize to Guylaine Cassan, and the title of this PhD is in French, État et identité de caste en Inde, une approche économique, under the supervision of Madame Sylvie Lambert. And I would like to add that after to have decided to give the prize to this PhD, we were very happy to realize, the jury was very happy to realize the originality, in fact, of the topic also. And for us, it was very important to give the symbol that it's possible to make a fantastic work in economics also, in so original sort of topic.
So I was told that we were supposed to very short talks, so I will start by saying thank you. So thank you to the IFSE, of course, for the prize. It's a great honor to receive it. And of course, thank you to Sylvie Lambert, who was my supervisor at the Paris School of Economics, and also to Thomas Piketty and Denis Cronin, who were both of great help in the process of my PhD. And more generally, to Paris School of Economics, as well as to London School of Economics and the University of Bocconi, where I spent a year during my PhD. So what is the topic of my PhD? So as I said, it's not the typical kind of topic that the economists work on. I've been working on the interaction of the public policy of the state and identity, taking the example of India and the caste system. So the caste system, as you may know, is something that is very strongly anchored in Indian tradition. So I thought that the best way to approach this question was to take an historical perspective. So my PhD kind of looked at the caste system throughout the 20th century. I look at the colonial period as well as the independence. So what I do for the colonial period is that I look at the one specific policy and the impact it had on caste identity manipulation. The idea being that caste identity that is supposed to be so fixed, so rigid, given at birth, can in fact react to economic incentives, such as the one given by a public policy, in that case, on the land market. And in order to do so, I've collected data from the colonial censuses of the time, allowing me to build a caste population panel starting in 1881 and finishing in 1821, sorry. And in order to show causally that this law has created a tendency to manipulate caste identity in order to be part of the caste that were protected by this law, that were given advantages on the land market. On an addition to this paper, I then collected data on the land market at the time, on land ownership by type of caste in colonial Punjab, to see how much the land that was distributed by the government to the caste that was supposed to be the caste determined by the law was in fact obtained by the individual that managed to manipulate their caste identity. And this type of question is still relevant today, because you still have today positive discrimination types of policy targeting scheduled caste, the untouchable caste, and you do have a lot of anecdotal evidences, mentioning the fact that people try to cheat, try to pass as a member of a specific caste in order to get access to those benefits, but there is no contemporary data allowing to measure this type of effect. So this is why I've been trying to look at this historical data that is the only available data on the evolution of caste population. And talking about contemporary times, so there is, since independence, positive discrimination for the untouchable caste. And there is this issue that we don't really know whether they are effective or not. And in particular, we don't know whether they're effective on the educational, for the educational aspect of the development of the scheduled caste, the untouchable caste. So in order to do so, I've been to evaluate these type of policies. I've been looking at a natural experiment taking place around the 70s in India that has given granted access to certain castes to the productive status, and I've been looking at what happens to those individuals in terms of their educational outcomes. And I must say the result is very pessimistic because I do not see much happening for those individuals. So this is what I've been doing in my PhD, so trying to look, going from the beginning of the end of the 19th century to the end of the 20th century, trying to understand the relationship between caste identity and the policies of the Indian state, both the colonial English state as well as the independent Indian contemporary state.
So in the